There's two readings today. The first is from the Old Testament, Jeremiah 29, starting at verse 4. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me, and when you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from the captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. And the second reading is from Mark chapter 12, starting at verse 28, and it's called The Greatest Commandment. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one, and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions.
Thank you, Angela. Sorry, I just need a second to get my... Last time it didn't work. Are we going to get it to work this time? I'm going to apologize now if I'm leaning backwards. I fell over during the week and I have a sprained ankle on that side and a gammy knee on that side, so I'm struggling. Right. There we go. Thank you, Janelle. Got me worried there. Tulips. We discovered this morning that tulips can have a purpose. Apparently they have lots of different purposes, and apparently different colours have different purposes too. Our Easter journey, our Lent journey. How many of you have signed up for the devotionals? If you'd like to sign up for the devotionals, the link is on here. It's also, if you get the newsletter, the link is on the newsletter. They're really good, and it'll be good for us to do it together as a church family, and it'll link into to the sermons, the home group notes, everything are linked for the next 6 or 7 weeks. So if you'd like to join us with that, it would be great. Purpose. The fact is that our life on earth, everything we do, has a purpose. I looked up the dictionary definition of purpose, and it says that there is a reason. A purpose is the reason for which something is done, the reason that it is created, or for which something exists, a purpose. Now, I've discovered that sometimes there's a very specific purpose and sometimes there's a very general purpose. In our family, we're all a bit Apple mad, so we like Apple, and I have an iPhone. I will admit that I'm probably the only member of the family who's now still stuck on Apple, and the rest have all gone generic, but, well, I'll call them generic. But I have an iPhone that has a very specific charger, and I can't use it for anything else. And nothing else fits my phone. It is very, very specific. So I got myself the one on the right, my right, one which is a micro C, I think. And I now have a charger that fits into. And that lead is amazing. I can use it to charge my computer. It's the same lead. I can use it to charge my tablet. And I can use it to charge my phone because it has a stand charger. So it's amazing what this lead can do. And apparently it can do my Ring doorbell as well and a few other things. So I'm really happy with this lead because it's absolutely amazing. It's changed my life. Instead of having six leads, I now have one lead and everything seems to work off it. So I really like it. So these are specific. Sometimes we have specific purposes and sometimes they're general purposes. When I heard that we were going to be doing something about on purpose, I kind of like really thought that it would be, what did you think it was going to be? Coming up to Easter, salvation. I thought it would be love the Lord, you know. I thought it would be, what is our purpose on earth? Glorify God and, what does the catechism say? Glorify God and serve him forever? Isn't that it? Something like that. We have a very specific, we have a very general purpose in our lives as Christians. When Jesus was asked the question, what are the greatest commandments? What did he answer? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength. And secondly, love your neighbor as you love yourself. But what I discovered in planning the service is that these general ones just have specific purposes. They just have specific bits that come about in them. So as we look at the passage from Jeremiah that has been chosen for us, the situation for it is the fact that Jeremiah is still in Jerusalem, but many of the Israelites have been taken off in captivity to Babylon. So they're in Babylon, and they're struggling. And Jeremiah sends them this, the words that God tells him. They're not happy in Babylon, by the way. They're very, very definitely not happy in Babylon. But Jeremiah sends them the words that God tells him. And from the passage that we read, it's very, very clear that God tells them, I did this. This is not something that just happened. I did this. Twice in the passage, he mentions that God did this for the people. And then he tells them what their purpose is during this time. And I didn't get to pick these three purposes. I think there's many, many purposes in this passage, but these are the three that were pulled out by the person who's leading this group. The first one is to live. Just to live. To create and restore. To live in where they are. Secondly, to seek peace and prosperity. And thirdly, to remain undistracted and faithful in spite of their exile. So we're going to have a chance to look at each one of these and maybe try and bring it home for ourselves. When things go wrong, it's very, very easy to think that it's the end. When things go wrong, our life can become very black and white. These people had been wrenched from their homes in war and removed and carried hundreds of miles to Babylon. They left everything they knew. They left behind their loved ones sometimes. Sometimes some of them, those behind, had been their loved ones taken away from them. It was rough. They ended up in a foreign country, foreign cultures, foreign gods. Everything was different. Everything was different. But God said to them, build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there and do not decrease. Live. In spite of where you are and what's happened, live. Wow, that's a hard thing to do when life just isn't as we wanted it to be, and changing our expectations. But these words are very, very creative. Build, create a home, make a home, settle down. Don't just think this is temporary, settle down. Become, make this your home. Plant gardens. There's something about, if you're in temporary accommodation or renting, you don't like to plant the garden. You don't feel like there's any point in planting. But God is telling them, plant. And not only that, plant, but plant good food. Plant food that is going to feed you. Marry, have sons. Marry, have a family. Actively find wives. Promote marriage. Promote having a family. Promote those good things. Increase. Don't think that you have to stop. You can increase, not decrease. It's a powerful message that your life is not over. It's just changed. Be proactive. Create. Restore. I find this a very, very hard message, because oftentimes it doesn't feel like life is. And sometimes we will all at some stage face the point that where we are in our lives, that maybe we're coming to the end of our life and that's where we are. But it is still to live the life to the best of our ability. I have been incredibly encouraged by a book. We all know Matt Redman. He wrote a book called 10,000 Reasons. And the stories in there will make you absolutely cry your eyes out. He wrote it because so many people wrote in to tell him the value of the song 10,000 Reasons. We've sung it many, many times here. And the one that really, really touched me very deeply was the story of a young couple called Mark and Fiona. And Mark was a semi-pro athlete, and he was good at absolutely everything. And he was diagnosed with motor neuron disease. And his greatest desire, his wife said to Fiona, said to him, "What is your greatest desire?" And he said, she thought, "Oh, well, he wants to play another game of football or whatever." And he said, "No, my greatest desire is that I want another chance to lead people into the throne room of worship, that they can worship God." Mark and Fiona decided, in spite of the fact that she was pregnant with their first child when he was diagnosed, they went on to have another child because they felt that that was where life was. Mark got to the point where the only thing that he could do was smile at people, because he had no control over anything else. People loved to come and visit him because, you know why? His smile made him feel like they were the most important person in the world. People loved to go to visit him. Before he died, 10,000 Reasons, his wife started a Facebook page called 10,000 Reasons Why for My Heart to Sing, and hundreds and millions and thousands of people around the world gave reasons for why they worshipped God. And throughout Mark's decline, they constantly had worship music on, and people came into his room, and everybody who came in worshipped. And so his desire to lead people into the throne room of worship was throughout the last days of his life. And he went out singing. His entire family sang him 10,000 reasons as he died. I think it is the most incredible testimony to how God is with us at all times. Even for Mark, his life on earth was ending, but his life in heaven with Jesus was the start. And his wife recognized that, and she was happy to let him go. But I think it is a time of most incredible way of living, even. Well, it's a continuation, it's the end of one life and the continuation of the next. But let's never forget to live our lives to the best of our ability, whatever circumstances we find and whatever purpose God is putting us through. The second thing God asked them to do was to seek peace and prosperity. How many of you know the song by the Rivers of Babylon? You know? By the Rivers of Babylon. Okay. It's from a psalm. Do you know that? It's actually from a psalm. And the psalm continues in not a very nice way. This was not part of the psalm. Daughters of Babylon, doomed to destruction, happy is the one who repays you according to what you have done to us. These are the Jewish people singing on the river, by the river of Babylon. And it goes on, happy is the one who seizes your infants and dashes them against the rocks. I don't think the Israelites were very happy to be in Babylon, do you? Nope. They were very, very upset. But God sends them a direct message. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city. Don't just live there. Don't just make it your home, but seek the peace and prosperity of it. He totally turned the attitude away to, I placed you here. There is a plan and a purpose. Seek the peace and prosperity. And he gives them a reason. He says, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. If you can see good in a situation and turn it, maybe you've been demoted, maybe something's happened that you don't like, but if you can still pray that the God would use it and it prospers, that you pray for his prosperity, then you too will prosper. It was a promise that God gave them. The word for peace we know is shalom. When I lived in Israel in the 1990s, one of the greatest things I learned was when I was there was that the word shalom does not mean an absence of anything. That's what we think it is. Peace in our Western world is very much an absence of conflict. The Israeli concept, the Jewish concept of peace is a call to action. It is to make peace. It is to actively pursue peace and wholeness. It is not an adjective. It is a verb. It is a very active, to be agents of peace, to be agents of shalom. So if you're in that difficult situation, is how can we be our purpose to bring peace and to be an agent of shalom? I think Daniel and his friends in Babylon were a very good example of this. We remember the story of Daniel and his friends. They were taken. They were one of the first ones who were taken in captivity. The Babylonians used to take the young men, those ones who were good-looking, they say. The Bible says they were good-looking, they were healthy, and they were taken off in exile first. And there they would be trained in Babylon, in the ways of the Babylonian people, and they would be trained and educated. With the whole design was then that they would be able to be used to control the nation that had been captured. So it was a very distinct way that the Babylonians used to capture people. Daniel and his friends ended up in Babylon alone, away from their families, and they were told that they had to eat this incredibly lavish lifestyle. And Daniel, if I remember correctly, and his friends said, no, we don't want to defile ourselves this way. They were very respectful about it. They said, test us for 1 week on eating only vegetables and see. And let's see if it works. And so at the end of the week, or the period of time that they gave them, those in charge realized that Daniel and his friends were actually more healthy than those who'd been on this considered healthy diet. And so, out of respect, they then allowed them to continue on in this diet. And it was the way in which Daniel just, he didn't scream and shout and rant and rave and said, I want what I want, but he did it. He actually said, see if it's not actually better for you that we eat this way. See if it's not actually better for what you want to accomplish that we do it our way. And he let them test it. And so it became a thing that they did. So the second idea was to seek peace and prosperity. Thirdly, what God asked them to do was to remain undistracted and faithful. It's a warning. In the passage that Angela read for us, it said, do not let the prophets and the diviners among you deceive you. They were in a foreign land. God was warning them that there were things there that were wrong. They needed to be wise. They needed to not let their guard down against these things that were wrong. They needed to listen to those who were from God, and they needed to discern who was from God and who was not prophesying from God. They needed to know, because it's very easy when you're in a tough situation to listen to the voice that you want to hear, to listen to the voice which tells you, oh, if you just do this, it'll be all right. It's really, really easy when you're going through a rough time just to cling to anything that lifts you up. And God was saying very clearly to them, do not be distracted. Let's think for a moment. What could maybe distract us? What do you think could distract us from being with God? I think sometimes just the pain of being in a difficult situation can distract us. Sometimes being in pain can cause us to act in a sinful way because we just want the pain to end. There's all sorts of things that can distract us, but it's just to be aware of what they are and the fact that there are things that might not be right. He also called them to remain faithful. You will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart, and I will be found by you. Very subtle reminder that the reason for their exile was because of their disobedience, that they needed to turn back to God, that they needed to seek him and find him. But the absolute promise that God always gives us, that when we seek him, he will always be there, and we will always be able to find him. I think Daniel is a brilliant example again of that, when Daniel refused to worship the idol that was made, and he still continued to bow down and to worship God, even though he was told that he shouldn't. Daniel sought God's face 4 times a day by praying, and because of that, he was thrown into the lion's den. He sought God, and God closed the mouths of the lions, and he was fine. Wonderful example of God being faithful to somebody who has remained faithful to him and undistracted. So the 3 things to live in difficult times: there is a purpose to live, to seek peace and prosperity, to remain undistracted and faithful. The passage continues that we read, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and I will fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. Jeremiah's speaking from Jerusalem, so he will bring them back to Jerusalem. And the best verse that we love, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That even I think in some ways those Israelites were lucky God said 70 years. When we're going through rough times, it just seems to go, 70 years seems to be one day, doesn't it? It just seems to never end. And I think part of going through rough times is that they never seem to end. They just seem to go on and on forever. But hold on to the constant promise that God is in control. He knows the plans. He knows where you are. He knows where we are. And he has plans for us. Is it incredible to think that the God of the universe, the God, Creator God, has a plan for us individually? He has a plan for us as a community. He has a plan for us as a church. Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. So, what purpose has God got for you today? What purpose has God got for AFC? Do we know? Are we seeking it? Do we want to know? Over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at God's purpose for us in different areas, with friends, at work, in leisure. There's all different areas over the next 6 weeks. We've got 6 different areas that we're going to be working through as a church. So this is just the introduction to what is our purpose. What is our purpose individually? What is our purpose? You see, Pat bought us some tulips, and I'd like to encourage you to each take 1 or 2 home and to think, what do you think God's purpose? What could you use that tulip for today? How could you bless somebody with it? What can you learn from it? Maybe you just want to look at it and go, wow, God is wonderful. God is beautiful. God has created something amazing. Maybe you wanted to give it to somebody as a sign of appreciation or love or affection or a thank you. But I can encourage you each to take a tulip and to do something with it on purpose today. Let's pray together. Father God, we are so grateful that you have a plan and you have a purpose for our lives. We thank you that you have a plan for each one of us individually. And we pray that we would be wanting to actively seek and to know your purpose in our lives. Father God, we know that it is not random chance that we're in this room today. We know that you planned that too. And we pray that you would be with us, that you would continue to guide us. But we pray most of all, Lord, that as a church family, that we'd be seeking your face, that we would be coming before you in worship and adoration to seek your place and your plan and your purpose. Because we have received your love, and because we want to spread that love to other people, both in our church family and beyond. Pray this in your name. Amen.